This is PFW in progress.
Any attack made by the rebels against this station would be a useless gesture.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
PFW in progress.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
With Fred Kirsch.
Will somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way?
Paul Perillo.
No, no, no. Stay and help you, I will. Jedi Master, take it to him, I will. But now, let's eat. Come.
And Andy.
Everything's under control. Situation normal. Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Andy Hart.
Let's get one thing straight. I take orders from just one person. Me.
Some guy named Tom.
We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Who is she? She's beautiful.
PFW in progress.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. I'm having a little trouble with my microphone stand here. Seems to be stuck. Oh, there we go. I loosened it up. Fred and Tom here. Tom, how you doing?
I'm all right.
I know it's Christmas when I hear the Star Wars opening.
What? Why is that?
I don't know. Star Wars says Christmas to me for some reason.
Like the Godfather?
Yeah.
It's Christmas.
I guess movies, Christmas, you know, it's all, you know, nowadays you get DVDs for Christmas a lot.
I guess.
Netflix, maybe. How you doing?
I'm all right.
You all right? Just all right?
Yeah, just all right.
Why? What's the matter?
Nothing. I'm just all right.
You got a big game coming up again in Miami? Yeah. Get to go down. It's 80 degrees in Miami.
I hate the Miami trip.
You don't like it?
No.
Why not?
That's always our worst trip. The plane is packed. You know,
I know, you got it.
It's not so bad on the way down because you're just sitting. It's the way back when you're trying to write and you got somebody's elbow in your face.
Right. Well, we'll just have to deal with it.
Once you get there, it's fine.
It'll be better if they win. If they don't win, I'll be in a nasty mood.
Yeah.
I'll offend some marketing clientele. So, all right. Well, it's Friday, and we're looking forward to this game against the Dolphins Sunday. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. We got some news from Paul today.
Yep.
He's
bad news for me.
His second kid's on the way, and it's a boy.
Yep.
His second boy, so congratulations.
Now
to
makes
Paul.
From the people I know, the last eight kids they've had have all been boys.
Is that right?
So that's terrible news.
Because you're.
Because I don't want a girl. If I have a girl, I don't want to have it. I either want a boy or nothing.
Okay. Well, Paul's having a boy. I think he's naming him Gillette. Is that right?
No, he's naming him Tom after me.
Is he naming him Tom? Tom Perillo?
Thomas John Perillo.
Really?
After me and my father.
See, that's normal name.
Yeah, he's going to go by TJ.
See, I can't, you know.
We go over this all the time.
Do we?
Well, and I should say, this is a good segue, Fred. Good segue. You don't even know what I'm talking about. I was told, and I don't know how they know, I don't know if it's somebody they know, but I guess someone had a kid and they named it Brady Harrison.
Oh, brother.
Now, that's just sick. That borders on child abuse.
I could see having a dog and naming him that.
Yeah, but, well, my dog's middle name is Emmett.
See, so these parents that give these kids these cute names like Cody.
That's my dog's name, another one of my dogs.
The kid's going to grow up someday.
Yeah.
Didn't take long to get into a tangent today.
But the thing about the Brady Harrison, too, is that you're naming them after people you don't even know. Like, there was a guy that everyone used to love, Fred. I don't know if you remember him. Great guy. Everyone loved him.
Dan
his name was, him too, but the guy's name was O.J. Simpson. Remember
right.
him?
Yeah.
Now, he ended up murdering two people.
Right.
How do you know? Granted, Brady and Harrison seem like nice guys, but how do you know Harrison doesn't kill somebody in 10 years? And then you're naming your kid after Rodney Harrison.
That's
I just
right.
think that's child abuse.
Yeah, it is. It's done for the parent.
Yeah, it's done for them. They're
so
doing it for them.
We can further our kid in a nice little cute way. Well, this kid's going to be an adult someday.
We're big Patriot fans. Great. Who, you know, go root for the team.
Get a tattoo.
Yeah.
You know?
It won't be Artrella Sante Perillo.
All right, well, that's our rant for the day, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know who did it, but it's one of the writers told me.
For the day? We got like four more coming.
Well, maybe.
Plus, I wouldn't name my son Brady to begin with.
No.
If you name him Tom, because it's Tom Brady.
Right. Anyway, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Bill Belichick had his press conference about an hour ago, and, you know, very quiet. Some questions about what it's like between playing on the road and playing at home.
We've done that before.
Yeah.
This is the second time we've had that line of questioning.
Well, probably more than that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since I've been here this year.
Somebody's getting ready to write a story that their final two out of three games are on the road.
That's what it is.
And they've played better on the road this year. You know, ignoring the fact that they played Denver and the Colts at home has nothing to do with it, you know. And Green Bay and Minnesota have come, you know, anyway. So it was a very boring press conference today.
Yeah, and I think they're tough. You know, I think Cincinnati was a tough game that they won, but I think these next three are three really hard road games. You know, the Jets weren't quite the Jets when they went there. They got them early in the year. Like right now, if you went to New York, that'd be a much tougher game. I mean, Miami always gives them trouble. You got Jacksonville fighting for a playoff spot, and you got Tennessee playing its best football of the year. So I think these next three games are going to be tough for them. Where, I mean, they could play Minnesota and Green Bay anytime they want, and they'll beat them.
Yep. So no givens for the Patriots, still vying for playoff positioning. There is a chance that they could still get a bye.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen, but pretty much they're going to need to win out probably and get some help, obviously. So everyone's watching the scoreboard. Love this time of year, Paul. I mean, Tom.
Yeah, though
we're getting to the stretch
drive. You know, the one thing is the Colts' loss last week is big because they have Jacksonville and Cincinnati back-to-back here. And if somehow they just go in the tank and lose those two games, then the Patriots can sneak in there.
Then all hell breaks
loose.
Who knows? They could be the number one seed, and so could San Diego. They're in prime position. So we'll see. It's a great time of year, great time to be a football fan, especially if you've got the NFL Network. People still screaming about that.
And
read today,
as I predicted, it's getting worse now that the games are actually on.
Now, Time Warner again is filing suit against NFL Network for what they call fraudulent advertising, you know, because the ads are saying that, you know, you can't see your own team, and, you know, and that's not true, really, because if you're in the home team market, you
can't
see
it. But it all depends where that market is, like I said. Where I live, everyone's a Giant fan. But they're not going to get the game because my parents don't get the game.
Right. Technically, the market is within 75 miles of the stadium.
So it's just a technicality.
But for even New England. I mean, Maine is still, we consider Maine the Patriots market, but in terms of the league, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's only within a 75-mile radius of Foxborough, Mass.
And it's just an annoyance because now, like, say we go on the road, right, on Saturday, when we go to whatchamacallit, Jacksonville in Tennessee. There's going to be Saturday games. We can't watch them.
No. So we'll have to find a place.
No, but
the
I'm
dish.
Just saying, you know, it's not like ESPN where you can go in and you know the game's going to be on.
I think that both sides, those cable carriers and the NFL, are making a mistake. And I think the NFL is kind of making a mistake, too. I think they should ease up a little bit, not be asking for the extraordinary extra fee above and beyond just being a carrier of NFL Network, because it's to the NFL's advantage to have these games on as many TVs as possible.
Right, and plus, I know we've been getting on the cable carriers, which I still think are wrong, but if the NFL, if you get them on and the station grows huge, then you can up your ante because then they'll have to have it. There's no way they can cut you. That's what ESPN did. Once ESPN got to that level, they doubled their price and everyone had to pay it.
Right. Gary just put up a rant tote board. I think we're up to two now today. So we just finished our second rant.
We're almost even with John Rook.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. What else is going on today, Tom?
Not
locker
much.
Room?
1:30.
1:30. Why do they make it a different time on Friday?
You have to ask the people that you work for, Fred.
All right. We're taking nominations today for the best mind game coach in the history of football besides Bill Belichick. And I'll give you a little example. Earlier this week, Bill Belichick, in his press conference with the Miami press, said that he couldn't imagine any defensive player getting Defensive Player of the Year other than Jason Taylor. And both Saban and Taylor later said, you know, they'll accept the compliment, but they think, you know, maybe Belichick was playing a little bit of a mind game with Jason Taylor.
So that said, who do you think are listeners? Who do you think are other examples of coaches that were masters at playing the mind game? And I know you're going to say Lou Holtz.
Yeah, Lou
Holtz. So forget about that
one. Lou Holtz in college. I would say Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah,
was a great one.
Okay.
Because his thing was he tried to take the pressure off the team and put it on him. Like when he guaranteed a win against the Nine, he always had the media talking about him and not the team.
Right.
That was his thing. Bill Parcells, obviously.
Well, let's let the listeners.
Well, just naming a couple.
Okay.
I'm sure they'll have a bunch that I didn't think of.
Okay.
I can't name any. I'm on the show.
Well, let's let them.
I named the obvious ones. I mean, you don't think someone's going to email in Bill Parcells?
Well, maybe they will.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't want to discourage people from emailing, is what I'm saying.
Okay, so now I've eliminated the first 35 people that would have said Bill Parcells. So come up with someone that we haven't named that's not Jimmy Johnson, Lou Holtz, or Bill Parcells.
Or Bill Belichick. Okay. All right. Let's see what people can do.
All right.
I think it's an art form. I really do. I think some coaches do it very, very well.
Yeah, well, it's just, I think Saban tries to do it, but he's not good at it.
Probably.
He's such an egomaniac that he'll start trying to play a mind game, but then he just keeps talking and talking and talking. You know, when you're playing the mind games, you got to know when to shut up, too.
Right.
And he can't shut up.
I don't know. He called Graham and Watson the best two tight ends in the NFL in his conference call.
Is that right? So there you go.
Yeah, but that's transparent, though. You know what I mean? Like, when Belichick plays them, you can make an argument for Taylor. You know what I mean? I don't think he'll win it, but it's you can make an argument.
Yeah, but not with Julius Peppers in the league and guys like that. I mean, Taylor is beyond.
No, but he's having a great year.
Yeah,
he is.
Okay.
I'm saying you could put his name in the discussion. If I said who's the best tight end in the NFL, is anybody going to say Daniel Graham?
No.
Okay.
No, not even close. And even Watson shouldn't be in that category right now. I mean, for crying out loud, Miami's got one on their own team that might be better.
Yeah.
You know, Randy McMichael.
Yeah, I'm sure he enjoyed that statement.
Right. Maybe he told Randy he was going to say it before he said it. I don't know.
I don't know what he's doing down there. I'll tell you, I picked the Dolphins to win earlier in the week, but I'm disliking that pick more and more.
Well, we talked yesterday about the rumors of Saban being interviewed by Alabama. Now I guess Rodriguez is definitely going there. But that's not to say that Saban wasn't contacted or didn't have discussions.
I guarantee you there was some connection.
And there was an interesting story today about how Rodriguez isn't exactly the most forthright person around. A former player who was recruited by Rodriguez asked him point blank, how many catches did tight ends in your program have last year? And Rodriguez said 30, 35. The player then went and looked it up. It was 5. Then he went back to Rodriguez, said, I'm transferring out of here. And Rodriguez said, what makes you think I'm going to let you? But this player had already signed an agreement with the former coach saying that he could. So Rodriguez, had no choice but to let him transfer.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of that goes on. A lot of these guys are probably not great guys, especially in college where you have to fight those recruiting battles. That's a dogfight.
What is it about college football and college basketball coaches? Most of them are slimy.
I think it's part of that job, the recruiting.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go,
they're more salesmen than they are coaches.
Did you see the thing on ESPN a couple weeks ago? They had a story about that. You might not have seen it because I think it was on game day, college football game day in the morning. But they had that where when you go into a kid's living room, you're just not only selling your program, you got to put down other programs. You know, like if you're going in and competing with USC, you got to try to find the holes in USC's program and bring them up as well. You're not just selling your program; you're going against other people, and that's all part of the deal. And it is. It's like that's what they referred it to. It's like being a salesman, a car salesman.
Wow.
And I think that becomes part of you because that's part of your life as a college coach. And I think Saban has a lot of that still in him at the NFL level.
Hmm. It's a tough existence.
I just don't trust that.
I think the best thing that you can do is look at a guy like Joe Paterno or Mike Krzyzewski, who they're really not going anywhere. So pretty much what they tell you is going to be the truth,
mm-hmm.
You know, because they haven't moved around. But when you look at guys that move around a lot, you got to wonder, what are they trying to sell here?
Yeah, but I mean, in Rodriguez's case, this is a jump.
Well, this is his big
you know.
It's interesting, though. The SEC, which is known for tough football, is going to become rinky-dink central. They got Rodriguez running the spread. They got Urban Meyer running the spread. They got Arkansas with all their crazy halfback options. SEC has never really been known for that kind of football.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right. Emails, webradio at patriots.com. We have several already in, Tom. People are just emailing in. Very interesting.
What do they want to talk about?
Well, let's get to the first one. Comes from Mark. He says it's Mark with a C from New Hampshire. Is there another Mark from New Hampshire?
I do not know.
He says two things. One, enough is enough with Corey Dillon.
Oh, then stop talking about it. Seriously.
I love the guy. I think he might be one of the top 10 running backs in the last 15 years, but he looks like he is stuck in mud. I mean, the guy's over 30. And that is like Social Security time for a running back. If we have to rely on him to carry the load, see you later, Miami.
See, Mark brings up the point. It's the age. Nobody in the world is debating Dylan's talent. Nobody. He's a phenomenal running back. But it's the age. That's all we're saying. At 33 years old, and I think the one thing people refuse to look at, Patriot fans, is the absolute pounding he's taken over the years.
Yeah.
Go back and watch his games in Cincinnati and count how many times he ran out of bounds.
Exactly.
I guarantee it'll be none.
Exactly. And he's not like Curtis Martin. It was very hard to get a clean hit on Curtis Martin. He was always angling his away. And you'd get him down, but you get him down by his ankles or whatever. You know, Dylan's right at you.
But and Emmitt Smith played into his 30s, and Barry Sanders probably could have played till he was 40.
Right.
Because that guy never got hit. Dylan is a completely different type of runner. I mean, the bus last year said he could barely get out of bed. That's the kind of pounding these guys take. And for that, I mean, I credit Dylan for that. That's a lot of beating that your body takes. Look at Earl Campbell. The guy can't even walk.
Yeah. And two, says Mark, I'm waiting for Tom to get his own HBO comedy special. He makes me laugh and really carries the PFW show.
Well, I can't argue with that, Mark. That's some good logic.
Andy's not going to like that, though. He doesn't like it when you get compliments.
Andy doesn't?
No.
How come?
Because he thinks he's the show.
Andy's pretty funny.
Yeah.
See, my HBO comedy, Andy's funnier than me, like here, because he doesn't have to swear, but like on the HBO comedy special, I could be like Dice. I could be like, you know, Eddie Murphy and throw the F word around.
I never thought Dice was funny.
Oh, you're nuts.
I thought he was stupid.
You're nuts. You say that now. I guarantee you were when he first came out, you were laughing.
When he was out, I was not into him at all.
All right. Well, I thought he was funny.
Okay.
Anybody who could master saying the F word, because I think that's an art form, I think's funny. Like Samuel L. Jackson, he's got to do is say the F word, and I start laughing.
Okay. Let's see.
I don't like these clean comics.
You don't?
Jerry Seinfeld, nah.
Oh, you love Seinfeld.
I love the show. I don't like his stand-up comedy.
He was hysterical. I saw him twice in comedy clubs, laugh my you-know-what off.
See, I think he's funnier to me now that I've watched the show, but I didn't watch the show originally because I didn't like his comedy act.
Oh, okay. I was a big Seinfeld fan before the show.
I like, you know whose comedy act I like is Michael Richards.
now you're in trouble. Let's see. K.K. Kramer.
Yeah.
Let's see. Nick says, okay. Fred and Tom talking about Tom's personal trainer job, and Fred starts comparing Tom to Richard Simmons. That was very funny. It got even better when Fred started to describe Tom in tight striped pants. Tom, tight pants aside, you are my favorite because you know more football than anyone else at PFW, and you don't care if the fans like you. Andy, you're second. Andy's not going to like
this. I see the emails I sent in last night got through. That's
good.
You
guys were talking about sportscasters and how the bad ones are distinguished by not having the pipes.
Holy Toledo!
You didn't want to say that the announcers don't know football, but I will. I don't know how someone can have the gall to act like an authority all the time, Sims, and be wrong every time. Half the time they don't even know the players in the field. There are so many bad announcers that I can't really think of one I like. I guess Collingsworth, but I can't stand most of them. I tried listening to Gino while watching the TV, but there's a delay, so it doesn't work.
Thanks, babe.
I was throwing away my... So, what do you think about that first?
I don't mind Sims. I know there's kind of a split on him. He's not one of the ones I mind. And this has nothing to do, you know, because I don't like Michael Irvin, but I like Troy Aikman. I think Troy Aikman brings a lot to the game.
Yeah, I think Simms and Aikman are both. I don't mind either one of them.
No, those are as far as former players go, those are the better ones.
Yeah,
I haven't heard much of Rich Gannon because he started after I got this job, and we don't hear him a lot.
I've only heard him doing field reports, you know, before the game, and he's very good. I haven't heard him do a game yet, but he's actually pretty, you know, eloquent. You know?
And you know, there's a couple. I mean, I've always liked Al Michaels because he did the
Al's a professional.
You know, the Miracle on Ice. You're always gonna.
I think Al. The fact that when you don't even have to think about it when you're listening to an Al Michaels broadcast, there's nothing that he does that you're like, what? What did he say?
Exactly.
It's smooth.
That's
so smooth.
The master, Pat Summerall, used to be that way, too, before he got too old. I mean, I know a lot of the newer fans remember the older Pat Summerall, but when he was on back in the day, Pat Summerall was the best because he didn't have to say a lot of words. He let the moment speak. You know, he didn't get involved with it. And those with the best. Michaels does the same thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk a lot. He'll just let the moment carry you. But he's right. There's a lot of... I don't know. I don't notice it as much anymore because we're usually in the press box and we don't hear the sound anymore. We just watch the game. But when I was used to be home watching football and you flip around the NFL Sunday ticket, man, some of those games, even if you're interested in the game, they're tough to listen to.
Well, and plus, I mean, you notice it more now because back in the day, there were only like three or four.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Now there's so many networks, college games on TV and basketball. There's so much stuff on TV that requires a play-by-play guy, it's watered down.
Yeah, who are the fans can answer this better than me. Who are those two idiots doing the Patriots game this week?
Oh,
I've never even seen those guys before. Who are they?
Oh, Vakorsian or something like that?
I don't know who they are. Yeah. They showed them.
Matt Viskerjian and J.C. Pearson.
Yeah.
Apparently this wasn't one of the top games of the week. That's about as bad announcers for a Patriots game that I've seen.
I don't know. Did you hear them, though? I didn't know how good they were. I just didn't know who they were.
No, I don't mean bad as in I don't know if they're any good. I mean like down the ladder.
Yeah, we didn't rate
Were good. I don't know.
And let's see. Nick also says, I was throwing away my old PFWs and came across the midseason award. Who's your three-quarter season award? MVP, LT for the league, and Tom for us. That's what he's saying.
I agree.
What do you think? MVP?
You got to go Tomlinson now.
What about for the Patriots? Brady? How about on offense for the Patriots?
On offense for the Patriots?
You have to do Brady again, right?
But if you wanted to go someone other than Brady.
If you exclude Brady, who would it be?
I'll go Watson or Caldwell.
Yeah, he said Caldwell.
Yeah, I don't mind that because he's really stepped up.
How about defense for the Patriots?
Still Ty Warren.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. He says Samuel.
You can argue Samuel, but
I think Ty Warren. Yeah.
I think because you got to remember, Samuel had a bad game against the Colts, a very bad game. Now, those are the games, if you want to make the money Samuel wants to make, those are the games I want you to have a good game in. And he didn't have a good game against the Colts. So because of that reason, and because I think from start to finish to right now, Warren's been the most consistent player on that defense.
Yeah. How about rookie for Patriots? Maroney, obviously. And most improved for the Patriots, who do you think?
Most improved. I mean, you can't say Caldwell because he would be biggest surprise. Most improved. See, it's hard to do offensive linemen because I just don't know. You know, it's hard. I hate people who think they're, unless they watch the offensive line on tape, think that they know offensive linemen because I really don't. It's hard to tell offensive line. Most improved, maybe Watson?
Most improved? Yeah.
You know, I mean,
this writer says Mike Wright.
Yeah, you could throw Wright, and then I'm trying to think on the defensive side.
Ty Warren might have been up for that. I mean,
yeah, you know, who else you could? I don't know if you'd fall in most improved, but I got to tell you something. Artrell Hawkins, for a guy they signed off the street midseason last year, if they didn't have him on this defense right now, they'd be in big trouble. He's really adapted well to this scheme. I mean, that was a heck of a find for the Patriots.
That's good. Two last things. First, I say lay off Corey. If nothing else, he has been really good with Maroney. Without Corey, Maroney would have hit the wall already, and Corey has been a great mentor for Maroney.
Yeah, but we didn't argue any of that. We didn't. None of that was in our argument. We didn't say he was a problem with Maroney, and we didn't say that him getting carries at the beginning of the year was a problem. We're saying right now in crunch time, you got to give it to the more explosive player because. And listen, there's been a speculation that he has an arm injury, like you said the other day. Maybe that's true. Okay, but that's another reason for him not to. I mean, he is asking out. Now, fans can't deny that. He's asking out of games a lot.
Right.
Now, whether he's injured or not, that means you got to start getting Maroney more involved, because if they have to rely on him come playoff time, he's got to get into the flow of the game. And I agree with you, Fred. I think he presses a little bit because he only gets 8 to 12 touches a game.
Yep. What would your top salary offer to Samuel be? I think I would top out around $6 million a year, $13 to $14 million bonus. Wow, that's a pretty big bonus.
I would go about 10 bonus.
Yeah. I don't think I'd go over 12, but, you know, you say that, you know, and if between 12 and 13, I'd probably do it, but, you know, maybe I'd extend the years, maybe.
I mean,
I don't know.
When you're talking in the 12 range, you're talking about elite football. I just, 10 million, six a year, I think, like I said, you know, what happens. Let's suppose the Patriots play the Colts, Fred, for the AFC Championship game, and the Colts light them up like they did the last time. So now let me ask you, is Asante Samuel worth $13 million? Because
right.
He's played two games against the Colts and had two terrible games.
Right.
So if you're paying him that money, those are the games I want to see him shut people down.
Yeah.
Because when you have Ty Law and Champ Bailey, now Harrison will beat those guys every now and again, but you know you got an even shot every time they line up that maybe they'll win on that play. You know, it's going to go back and forth.
Well, it's like, you know, it's similar to the Texans drafting Mario Williams with the excuse, well, we have to play Peyton Manning.
Right.
So, well, if Mario Williams then doesn't have good games against the Colts, what do you got
yeah,
him for?
I know.
You know.
Exactly. And there's one thing we should point out. The Colts went after Samuel specifically. He was on Reggie Wayne, and they went after him with Reggie Wayne. Even when Hobbs went over to it was Scott who got hurt in that game, right? And Hobbs took over for Harrison.
Right.
They still went after Samuel. So, just something to think about.
Let's see. JJ writes in, and he's got problems with us. He says, "You're Corey Dillon. You're wrong, and here is why."
Okay.
One, the most accurate way to judge a running back is yards per carry. I know it's not touchdowns, so don't treat us like stupid fans. Corey Dillon's yards per carry are near what they are for him every year. Get that through your head, please. In fact, look it up. It's 4.1.
Would he still have that 4.1 if he was getting 20 carries a game? I bet you he wouldn't.
According to Belichick, anything 4 and over is good. Are you better than Belichick? No, you're not. Two.
Hey, you're not better than us.
Two.
That's why you email in, we answer them.
Your precious Maroney often misses the hole. Last week at the Lions...
Stop it right there, Fred. Who's this guy?
JJ.
Okay, JJ. I don't want to hear one email coming in from you when Lawrence Maroney takes over next year and it's great, because you called him our precious Maroney, so that means you have no use for him, because you're not really a Patriots fan then. You're a Corey Dillon fan. You're not a Patriots fan.
Last week at the Lions, it was 3rd and 1, and he had the hole right there and chose to play Barry Sanders and run further right, and he lost yardage. I remember that play,
yeah,
and he's right.
He's right. He's
but,
right.
But, you know...
He was dancing too
much. If you only have 12 opportunities, you know, anyway, Dillon would have gotten that no problem.
I agree. On short yardage, I agree. I'd go Dillon. I don't got a problem with that.
Also, Dillon has fumbled a few times the last two games, but have you looked at his career stats? He fumbles less than any other back of his era. Besides two fumbles in the last two games, he is better than most NFL running backs at holding onto the football, and your precious Maroney couldn't even hold on to the ball with Chicago. He got it ripped right out of his
arms.
Yeah,
that was a terrible play by him.
Dillon is...
Wait, Fred, who else fumbled when they were milking the clock to win that game? Who else fumbled in that game?
Rashae Caldwell?
No, it was Corey Dillon.
Corey Dillon. Right.
On the Maroney play, it was a phenomenal play by Lance Briggs, who came in, grabbed the ball, and ripped it out all in one motion. You know, hey, sometimes there's a fumble. Dillon was trying to do what they pay him to do, was run out the clock, and he couldn't do it.
Dillon is stronger than Maroney, and that would not have happened. Have you seen Dillon's
arms? He fumbled in the same game, JJ. He fumbled in the same game, you stupid moron.
Maroney is small and not what all of you think he will be, and has the same amount of fumbles as Dillon this year and the same yards per carry. All of you guys there need to go to football school. I'm listening to someone else.
Good. Hey, Gary, that's the biggest douchebag we've ever had email in. The biggest douchebag. Because Corey Dillon, Lawrence, they got 10 more years of watching Lawrence Maroney, and this guy who's supposed to be a Patriots fan wants nothing to do with him, so he can root for Corey Dillon for 4 more games. Now next year he's going to be chiming in telling us how great Lawrence Maroney is.
And
what a moron.
Jerry's not done yet. He's got another things he forgot about. Dillon was playing hurt.
That's why he's asking out. When you play with an injury and don't mention it, that is what we praise the other Patriots for. Why not Dylan? He is playing hurt and keeping his mouth shut about it. Do your homework. He has 500 yards this year and 4.1 yards a carry. If he had the ball all the time, he would have 1,000.
How do you know? How do you know? Because I got to tell you something, JJ. You might think you're dynamite, but I'm going to give it to you straight. Corey Dillon breaks off a 26-yard run, then ends up with 40 yards. So he's got those runs in there, then he doesn't get anything. So how do you know if he carries the ball 10 more times, he doesn't end up with 45, 50 yards? So you're just saying, well, he'd end up with 1,000. That's not true. How do you know Maroney wouldn't have 1,400 yards right now if he got the ball all the time? Idiotic.
He had his best year ever 2 years ago. Now he's totally done.
2 years ago.
The problem with
2 years ago, I was banging hot 19-year-old blonde girls.
The problem with the Pats is one thing only. The problem with the Pats is one thing only. Turnovers from Brady to Dillon and Maroney to all of them. Not Dillon. Also, will Maroney have 11,000 career yards when all is said and done? Dillon does and has 1,600 2 years ago, 4.7 yards a carry, Jim Brown type of yards, by the way. He is not done. He is hurt. He is old, but he is not the problem. There is a reason you are web radio and not the Globe. Oh, boy. Ooh, that's a real insult.
Yeah, that's a real insult. Who do you think works for the team, us or the Globe? The answer, both.
Whoa. But Jerry doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it at all. He's comparing Dillon's career stats to Maroney, who's played 12 games.
And he doesn't understand what we're saying. It doesn't even really matter right now about Dillon. Maroney is the better player right now. Right now.
And most Patriot fans realize that. And we'll see, and he's contradicting himself because he's talking about injuries and age. Those go hand in hand. The guy... They're not listening to what we're saying. Corey Dillon has taken a pounding over the year. Why? Are we being negative? No, because he didn't run out of bounds. He ran people over. He wouldn't go down. He was one of the toughest backs of his generation. That's why he's beaten up. And you're saying he's injured. That's speculation. When's the last time Dillon's been on the injury report, Fred? Because I was told by Bill Belichick to look at the injury report.
Right.
Dillon's not on there.
No.
So if he's not on the injury report, I'm doing my homework. He's not on there. He's not injured.
And maybe he is hurt. And if that's the case, all the more reason
right.
why you got to get Maroney into the game, you know?
I mean, this guy...
He sure didn't look hurt when he was scoring three touchdowns.
I'm sorry. If you disagree with us on Dillon, that's fine. That's your opinion. But then to say that Maroney's no good and call yourself a Patriots fan when you're going to be rooting for this guy for the next decade, you're a loser. You're a flat-out loser.
There you go. Phil from Nova Scotia, I have three questions. One, is Brady more sheltered from the media than other players? I never hear you guys talk about hanging out at Brady's locker.
No, you don't hang out at Brady's locker unless you're Burt Breer asking him about Michigan for the 150th straight time.
Well, Brady comes out once a week and addresses the media, so you don't really need to.
It's kind of like the way it goes is that his day is Wednesday, so that means you don't really bother him in the locker room. Because if Tom Brady had to answer every question everybody had, he'd never be able to walk through the locker room.
They used to try to do that.
Right.
It was ridiculous.
And now, but if you do have one question, a quick question you want to ask him, I have seen him answer those, like really quick, through his way through. But it's just easier for him and the team if he just answers everything on Wednesday. That's why they do it that way.
Yeah, there was a time when Brady first started, you know, Bledsoe always used to do a Wednesday. Then when Brady became the starter, he did Wednesday. Then he asked, hey, can I do it at my locker? And it didn't work. I mean, it was just a mess. It was guys just piled up 10 thick, and guys on either side of him couldn't get dressed next to him. So, you know, more as a service to the guys near him in the locker room, he's back to doing it, you know, at the podium. So, two, if the Cowboys make it to the Super Bowl, which current AFC contender – would provide the best competitive matchup
for Dallas?
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
I still say San Diego is the toughest matchup for anybody, just because they got Tomlinson, they have Gates, they have that good front seven on defense. So I think when you're looking at matchups, San Diego matches up best with anybody. Now, I still don't think that they're that much better than Dallas or New England, but as far as matching up wise, I think San Diego gives you...
You got to figure, though, when just overall matchup, Patriots and Dallas, because
oh, you're thinking best matchup.
Yeah, the two not just from a media standpoint, but the two coaches know each other so well. Belichick.
Yeah, but I think he's asking like on the field, who's their toughest matchup? And I'm just saying, I think anybody, you could say San Diego because of the players that they have on defense and offense.
I think Belichick would have his guys.
Well, I think Belichick would have his guys ready for
no matter
who they play.
And for that reason, I think it would be an awesome matchup on the field. You know, Patriots run defense, you know, getting at Romo, you know, disguising coverages. And then on the other side, you know, you got the Dallas defense. You know,
that'd be good.
I think it would be a great, great matchup to watch. Three, why buy a vacuum for every level of the house when you could have a central vac system installed?
I don't know what a central vac system is.
That's the one
I'm
where
picking
you got,
up pine,
you got
pine
holes in the wall
hands.
In every house, in every room, and you just stick a hose to it, and it just.
That's a question for Paul. I don't.
You still got to lug the hose around, right?
I don't know. I don't know anything about vacuuming.
I've never had a central vac. Been in a house with a central vacuum system.
I guess they're not that popular.
I don't think they work that well. Is that you know?
I don't know.
Plus, that's a lot of money to you know. Do that after the fact. If you're building a house with it, okay. But if you're going to install it after a house has been built, that's a lot of
Paul's
money.
Paul's buying a state-of-the-art vacuum. I think it vacuums itself.
Is that right?
I think it just wakes up and vacuums.
Oh. Please mark me down for a vote for John and also a vote of support for Tom Gigolo Casale. Tom may not always be nice, but at least he is always entertaining, and listening to him doesn't cost me a cent.
Thank you.
There
Eat it, JJ.
All right. It's 12:38, Gary, so we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, sweetie. When I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much. Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Let's go, let's jump right in. Come on, baby, let's go.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
Touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
First round draft pick in
interception in Patriots playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the daytime Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
How you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and the free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph your helmet limited to your first 400 qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Yo, I'm Diane.
And this is Elaine.
We're the twins, and you're listening to Patriots.com Radio.
You know, it's a good time to remind everyone that
here comes the pro shop.
Well, you know, it's that time to remind everyone that the Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find
the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
The widest selection of Patriots gear, authentic stuff, exclusive stuff. You can even get signed autograph stuff now. So, and if you order now, you'll get it in plenty of time for Christmas. So get out to the Patriots Pro Shop, do your shopping, get it all done at the comfort of your own home. That's
how you...
I did a lot of internet shopping this year. You know, it's the way to go.
Yeah.
Why go out there?
Yeah. There's no need to.
Why do it? If you know what you want, it's the best way to go.
Some people like...
Don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with babes all day.
Some people actually like to shop, so I guess in that aspect, if you like it, fine. But if you're like us,
you
why
can't,
leave the house?
I can understand liking the shop, but not liking the shop with a million people backed up at a register. Who needs that?
Yeah. I don't understand it.
You know, and the Gridiron Grillers, I know they don't sell those in the pro shop, but, the gift of meat is always something that, you know, makes for a great holiday.
Yeah. Give the one you love some brats.
Right. Nothing says I love you more than the gift of meat.
Yeah.
Right?
I get a side of beef every year.
There you go.
Yep.
So.
Nothing like a big sausage for Christmas.
Well. All right.
Well, we should tell everyone that Michael Felger won't be here. That idiot's down in Miami for the week or whatever.
Well, you'll be on the show, though. You're going to go
all the way into
Charlestown to be on
the
show?
Yeah, I'm not happy about it.
You're in
like
studio at ESPN Radio.
Yeah. Well, Felger's in Miami. This is a guy who shows up 2 minutes before kickoff for every game, went down to Miami 3 days early.
And will we hear that on our – we'll hear – no? Why not?
It's not here.
Because of their technical limitations, we can't do all that.
For crying out loud. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. They're under contract, aren't they?
Oh, no.
They only have one phone line.
That's. Do they stream out, though?
It's ESPN, ladies and gentlemen.
I believe they stream, but that's why Tom can't be here. He has to go to Charlestown.
Well, not that I want people not to be on Patriots.com radio from 4 to 7, but if you want to listen to Tom, we'll give a little plug to ESPN 90. 890, you can stream.
We'll replay Patriots Monday and stick it to them.
Yeah, you can stream it out. And
that way you can also yell at me on there, too,
right,
as well as here.
Right. So Mike will be in Miami.
Yeah, sitting next to the pool.
And you'll be in the studio here in Charlestown.
Yeah.
And he'll ask you one question, then you'll go to a break.
Yep, and then I'll blurt out one thing. We'll go to a break. We'll go to another break. We'll have an interview. We'll go to a break.
No.
AM radio, it's phenomenal.
And for that, you're being paid what?
Nothing.
What?
They're giving me another gift certificate.
And how much are these gift certificates?
For $100.
To where?
Like a men's clothing store.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but you can only use one per customer.
Well, how many do you need?
I don't know.
Oh, you mean like you can only use one?
I don't know. I have to figure this out. I got like five of them.
Well, somebody's got to make a phone call for you.
Yeah, that's. You know what someone's got to do? Pay me. That'd be nice.
Well, there you go. But I think the way to go nowadays, Tom, is get some custom-fitted suits, especially for a man of your build.
JJ emailed in. He has a radio station, but doesn't want you anymore.
He what?
He has a radio station. He's going to pay you, but not anymore.
JJ has a radio station?
I think Gary's only kidding.
Oh, I was going to say, he says he has a radio station. He's listening to us. He's got some problems. But Fred, I'm down with the custom-made suit. I need one for my wedding. My only problem is you're getting it from a guy on the street. You don't know what the suit looks like.
He's not on the street. He's got a website.
Oh, he's got a website. So does he have suits on the website?
Yeah.
Can I go there and say I want this?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what I asked you before, and you said you couldn't do it.
By the way, Gary, it's Mariani's guy. Have you heard of him, Jim Regan? He's legit. He's been in the business.
Yeah,
because
I can't find suits that fit me.
Well, there you go. This is what I'm talking about.
Because you know when you go to a store like say like Macy's,
yeah.
You have to buy the coat and pants together. Like
right.
I can't get like a certain pants and a certain coat
right.
of the same style. They only sell it together.
Right.
So people like me and Andy, we can't find suits.
Right. You know, Andy has to buy. You know the.
So, well, he's getting a little smaller now,
right.
So maybe he can.
Now
maybe
he can start buying off the rack.
Yeah. So how long before my wedding do I have to tell this guy?
Well, to be safe, I do a couple months,
all
but
right.
It's about 5 weeks to have it done.
Okay.
You know, when's your wedding?
In June.
This June?
Yeah.
Wow, where are you going to get married?
In New York.
You're going all the way? Then you're not having them come down?
We
here?
Already paid for stuff.
Really?
Like in New York, so.
Is it going to be a big wedding?
No.
Small?
Smaller.
Smaller.
I don't like a lot of people.
Well, no.
A lot of people don't like
but
me.
Usually the man has no say in the wedding anyway. You just sit back and let them do
it'll
all
be
of
about
it.
150, 100,
oh, that's pretty good
130
size.
Around there.
That's pretty good size.
So.
Is it going to be, well, let's see, you don't have to worry about football games.
No, you don't me.
Any big sporting events in June that you have to worry
Why
about?
Why do you think it's in June, Fred?
Okay.
You don't think I thought about this when I planned the wedding?
I was married in June.
Yeah, I said to Allison, it's the perfect time because there's nothing going on in sports.
Right. You just have to worry about that wedding night because June is, well, no, you're all set too because 9 months from June is, okay.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
No?
No.
Not in the cards?
No. Well, first of all, we've been living together for a while, so we stopped having sex already.
Oh, okay.
Second of all, I'm not having a kid.
Oh, all right. Rant board's up to three. Okay. Let's get back to the emails. Karthik is from Chicago. He's been emailing us a lot mm-hmm. lately. He says, I've heard about the great drafting by Pats over the past few years, but I see a concern. Seymour, Warren, Wilfork, Samuel, Hobbs, etc. are great stories, but on the other side, we failed on Bethel Johnson, Daniel Graham, Ben Watson, Chad Jackson. The only successful story in offense is Branch, and even he had only one great year apart from the two great Super Bowl games.
Well, wait a second. I think we should probably stop it there. First of all, Chad Jackson hasn't even played a full season yet, so I know we're a little disappointed. And I
wouldn't say that
Watson
Graham are busts.
No, I mean, Graham, if you say where he was taken,
right.
Then, yeah, you can make an argument. But as far as being a good player, he's a good player. Watson, this is Watson's second year because he was injured.
Right.
So what do you want from him? I mean, he leads the team in receptions, right? Does he still lead
yeah.
the team in receptions? And he's still Brady's number one target.
I still think he's only going to go up.
I still think
he's going to get better and better.
And even Chad Jackson, if you say he's having a disappointing rookie season, but you're
so
already
did Marvin Harrison, if you want to
yeah,
go,
yeah, you're already
like
pulling the plug.
Eric Moulds,
nothing.
You know?
He didn't
yeah.
do anything.
Yeah. And this year we missed on all of them: Maroney, Jackson, David Thomas, and Garrett Mills. I think he's just trying to pull our leg.
Oh, I do too.
I don't know, but. Anyway, he goes on, I included Maroney because he has not performed to the level that was expected. He has 155 carries compared to 171 by a die, so we cannot tell that he is not getting enough carries. His numbers are much less than a die. Maurice has 500 yards in less than 100 carries, and Maroney barely has 624 yards in 155 carries. He is known for bigger runs, and he hasn't run anything longer than 41 yards so far.
I've seen him make a lot of big catches. I've seen him make a lot of big kick returns. I mean, that's part of the game I think people aren't taking into effect. He was, I don't know if he still is, he was leading the NFL in kick return average. I guess that doesn't matter because I said at the game, spread, they're starting at like the 35-40-yard line every time because of Maroney. That's a big deal. And I don't know if you know this, but the Colts' offense is a little bit better than the Patriots'. So when they have everybody playing the pass, when you run a draw to Joseph Addai, it's a little easier to gain 10 yards than it is when eight guys are in the box because you have Doug Gabriel on the field.
We always hear from Tom and others that if it was Maroney instead of Dillon, he could have gone for more, but we have not seen anything so far. I disagree. I think it is a trend that we could not draft well on offense. Either these guys are not as good as they look like before the draft, or the staff and offense cannot get things done from them.
So he's trashing the whole 2006 draft already?
Yep.
Well, he's tougher than I am.
finally want to comment on a couple of Tom's comments. Tom told that Maroney cannot be compared to Willie Parker. Yes, he is right, except that Parker has performed much better than Maroney. Talking about longer runs, Parker is the best running back in the league doing the longer runs. I agree with Tom that Dylan is becoming more like a Bettis at goal line situations. Bettis showed true grit and determination when Deuce Staley was injured, and Dylan is not showing much such commitment. He always wants to go to the sideline, and we expect more commitment from Dylan. Someone pass it on to the aging horse. Okay? So this guy doesn't like anybody.
No, that's about as negative as you can get. The only guy he likes is Willie Parker.
Well, he goes on. He says he missed the last three editions, so he's got to get his questions in. He says the possible subtractions from this year's team for the next year, Dylan, Graham, and Samuel. Yes, that is possible. Mm-hmm. It's all possible. We have Maroney, David Thomas, and Garrett Mills. Not sure how they perform for these players. Say if we could not sign Samuel, which seems to be a great possibility after listening to PFW and reading your comments, what are the plans available for the Patriots? Well, it'll be free agency or the draft, right?
They'd have to bring somebody in through free agency, I think.
Yep. I guess Tom and others in PFW always have great ideas. D'Angelo instead of Maroney, Marshall and Manny Lawson instead of Chad Jackson.
Richard Marshall's tearing it up in Carolina.
Jay Avant or someone in the fourth round instead of Garrett Mills and Oliver Hoyt would have definitely worked better. So want to check what you guys think are the possibilities in the draft for Pats, or are there any free agents?
Well, we haven't started our draft. That's like the second part of our job. When the season ends, we turn to the draft. And we start with that. So I do a little stuff now where I keep a notebook and some players. But as far as projecting who's going to fit well with the Patriots,
yeah. Now these guys do it right. I mean, they're actually watching film, and then of course you got to wait for the juniors to declare.
Yeah,
because you don't know who the juniors are. They're going to come out.
You know, you go to the combine, you get to talk to some of these people, and you can kind of tell. You know, hey, this guy he might fit in here, and talk to some other people around the combine. So it's kind of a process you go through, and you know, you hit, you miss. It's not a perfect. No one's going to be perfect at it. Not even Belichick. But I mean, he's kind of hard on the whole rookie.
Oh, I disagree. I think Dave Thomas. I mean, what has Dave Thomas done wrong? Let's put it that way.
He's playing behind. Well, right. According to him, Watson and Graham stink. So
right.
Maybe he thinks Thomas
right.
should be
no,
starting.
I think Dave. He's had a couple good catches, and you know they just haven't gone to him a lot. You know, I think Maroney's fine. I haven't given up on Jackson, but you can make the case he's not doing.
And Fred, I said this all along.
And Mills has been on IR.
I think that the Patriots have, from the start of the year, and I know they'll never tell you this, but in a way have kind of been rebuilding on the run. If you look at it, the team's gotten a lot younger in most areas, yet they're still 9-3. They're still going to win the division. Now look at next year. They have all these guys going into their second year. They got two first-round draft picks and a ton of money to spend. I think, personally, next year they're going to be huge players in both the draft and free agency.
Yeah. PJ writes up, "Yo, guys, what's up? I love the show, especially you two guys together, assuming it's Fred and Tom. Hey, Tom, you are my paisano, but yep. I have to argue with you a lot. You are my favorite on the show, so don't think I am getting on you.
You can argue.
But we are paisanos, and arguing is what we do. You know, PJ?
Yeah, me and PJ are close. I got a feeling this is another Corey Dillon argument.
First of all, I agree that Dylan is not a number one back, but he is good at what he does. Anyone who thinks that running in from inside the five is easy, just watch the Eagles game once in a while. I go to every game. They have a dynamic back in Westbrook, but they have to throw from inside the five or they don't get in."
Well, and that's a good analogy. And, PJ, see, I think people are taking the comments wrong. I'm not complaining that Dylan is getting those carries inside the five. I did a story this week for the paper about Dylan's running inside the red zone. I think that is hard to do, and I think he's good at it. That's not where our complaints are. If you read the story, it'll say Dylan is averaging 12 carries a game to Maroney's 13, and the splitting the carries has not always been productive on the field. I just think at some point during the year, you have to give the ball to who you think the better player is. Now, on this panel, we all think it's Maroney. Maybe we're wrong. But as far as Dylan getting the carries at the 3 and the 4, and the, no one's really complaining about
no,
that.
How can you? Let's see. Secondly, you guys keep getting on Dylan for running out of gas during his 50-yard run. Well, we don't know what Maroney would do if he ran for 50 yards yet, do we? I keep hearing that if it were Maroney, Dylan's 20-yard run would be a touchdown. Well, I'm waiting, still waiting to see it. I still do agree with your premise that Maroney should be our feature back, but saying that Dylan stinks is going a little overboard. Then again, that's what I love about Tom. Anyway, I'll end it with this thought. Hey, Tom, remember when making a New Year's Day bowl meant that you were pretty good? Now it just means that you stink and you can't get in a bowl that is after New Year's Day.
That's
I
true.
Can't stand not having a million games on New Year's Day. I love the show, and I hope we're still paisanos.
Oh, we are, and I agree with you on the New Year's Day thing. It used to be a whole event. Now it's you get to watch 3 games that nobody cares about.
Right. Okay.
No, but I think, you know, the whole Dylan thing is, you know, when I say I'm sick of seeing him on the field, it's because I'm frustrated. You know, I think that you got a player here you can utilize. And for, I mean, look what Maroney does on his kickoff returns. He's got that. He breaks those tackles. He's got the explosion. I just think they need to get him out in space more. The one game was against the Bears where they hit him on that pass in the open space. See, I want to see more of that. Get him in the open field
yeah.
more and stuff like that. I just think he gives you the best chance to win.
I mean, the guy's got a blend of power and speed that this team hasn't had in a long
right.
time.
And listen, when it's first and goal at the 3 and Dylan comes in the game, it's not like we're in the press box swearing. That's
right.
fine. They're second in the NFL in red zone offense. No
right.
one's complaining about that.
Right. Let's see. James says, I predict that the Patriots will bounce back and look every bit as good against the Dolphins as they have in every road game this year. I'm not saying it will be easy. I just think they will play more fundamentally sound on offense in this game. They will get the running game going, and that will make it easier on Brady when he has to pass the ball. The defense will hold the Dolphins in check enough for the Patriots to get a comfortable lead late. Final score, Patriots 24, Dolphins 13. I base my prediction on these two facts. 1, 13 points are the most points that has been given up by the Patriots defense in 5 previous road games. That was against the Bengals. I would say that the Bengals, even with their early troubles on offense, was better than the Dolphins are now. And 24 points is the least amount of points the Patriots have scored on offense in those same 5 games, and that was against the Jets before giving the ball away on a fumble and an interception by Brady and on a blocked field goal late in the game. That was their first road game of the season, and the road performances since have been much better. Okay.
Yeah, but the one thing, that's a sound argument there and a good prediction, but the only thing I would say about that being early in the season is they weren't turning the ball over like they are now early in the season either. Now, if they go into Miami and don't turn the ball over, I think they'll win comfortably. But if they play like they have been in recent weeks,
right.
then we, you know, that'll be 3 weeks in a row. We got a problem.
Yep.
Because they need to use these next 4 weeks to shore that up and get better as the playoffs come around.
Yep. Overall, the Patriots are averaging 31.2 points per game on the road while only giving up an average of 8.6. In 5 road games, Brady has 13 TDs and only 3 interceptions. The team has only lost 3 fumbles in those 5 games. The Dolphins at home are only scoring an average of 15 points while giving up an average of 19. The Dolphins have only 3 TDs passing while giving up 6 interceptions and 4 fumbles in their 6 home games. The defense has only taken the ball away 6 times in those 6 games, and 4 of those came in a 13-10 win over the Titans. Well, James has been doing his little research.
He's supposed to be a math major or something. He got a lot of numbers floating around.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Eric in Deerfield Beach, Manchester, New Hampshire, says, any chance Tom will be getting a full contact lap dance at, say, Scarlett's in Hallandale, Florida? You getting a full contact lap dance?
Only by Andy.
I don't know where Hallandale, Florida is, but can you email the directions to Andy Hart, Mr. Soggy Pants up there? He wants to go. So
now we'll probably just go out and get fattening food and
drink beer.
Watch Paul get drunk.
Yeah.
Paul has trouble in Miami. He really throws him back down there.
Yeah, he does. I think it's the warm weather or something, you know?
Yeah, I didn't go out with him last year because I met a friend, but I saw him the next day. Boy, he did not look good.
Well, it's good when everything is free, but we got screwed.
Now we
got to
pay.
Year. Yeah, we got to pay this year. Doug from Blackstone, Fred, if they will let you take 225 pounds of carry-on luggage on the plane, I'd love to go to Miami with you guys. Feels like 40 below around here today. I saw the Tuesday night show, and I think it was very good. I still think Fred should run the show, and you guys should get a little more argumentative like this show. Fred, you look like a caged lion, and it's just wrong. Great show either way. I don't know. From what I've heard, I look more like a caged bum. Do you know the status of Mike Vrabel and Lawrence Maroney?
Vrabel's fine.
You know how they say TV puts 10 pounds on you? I tell you, I'm not looking good on TV. I'm not looking
good. How many TVs are on you?
One of the upper-level executives at this team told me yesterday, I want you to start losing weight. Right to my face. Says, I want you to start going to the gym. I'm not kidding.
Thank you, Robert.
That made my day. I want you to start losing weight.
I'm not kidding. And he saw the show Tuesday night.
It's too bad Andy isn't here because he'd take a shot on Paul out of nowhere.
Fred needs to lose weight. Look at Paul. Paul looks like he's got a twin on the show. It's like there's two of them. I can't believe it. I got to sit next to him. At least you get to sit next to him on top. All right.
Boy, that's tough criticism, Fred. I mean, we can live with you guys are ugly, you know your show stinks, but they're telling you got to go lose weight.
I think I can file a complaint with HR. I think I might write a letter.
That is tough criticism.
I would be upset, except it's absolutely 100% true. So what can you do, you know? Doug says, do you know the status of Mike Vrabel and Lawrence Maroney? I think Maroney is the key to this game. Miami is the one team that makes Brady look bad. A running game is critical. I agree with you, Doug, 100%. But the Patriots have the secret weapon.
Heath Evans?
You got it. You got it, baby. He loves playing in Miami. He's had a good game in Miami.
All right, watch him.
But as far as Vrabel, he's fine. He's
yeah, there's nothing
fine.
Wrong with Vrabel.
Yep. He's okay. But Maroney, we're not sure.
Is Maroney, was he on the injury report?
He's still questionable. I looked at that play where he allegedly hurt his back. He hit the ground pretty hard.
Did he?
He hit the ground flat on his back. You know how like sometimes you hit your butt first?
Yeah.
Or man, he got slammed down and he got up really slow.
Maybe a pelvis injury there.
Yeah, he got up really slow and walked like really straight right to the sideline.
Hmm.
You know, like he didn't want to show that he was injured, but at the same time he really couldn't move that well.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Maroney can't go, then someone on this show is going to be taking a lot of heat next week. Whether it be me or the fans who have been writing in, because Corey Dillon's going to get the bulk of the carries.
Yeah.
We'll see what he can do.
I'll tell you, though, Heath Evans. Watch out for Heath Evans.
Well, then I'm really right.
And then I'm
telling you right now, Maroney's not in there and they're giving the ball to Heath Evans instead of Corey Dillon, then the fans don't have anything to say.
Yeah. Clovis writes in, Tom Coughlin. Let's see. The problem is he uses his mind games. Oh, we talked about mind games earlier. This is the first email that we've had about that. The problem is he uses his mind games on himself and his team, but he's very effective at it. That's a good joke. Oh, that's funny.
If the joke is he's very effective at it, then
no,
I agree.
In other words, it's to his detriment.
Oh, okay. I got you.
The Pats blow out the Dolphins at Dolphins Stadium or the Dolphins at Dolphins Stadium, whatever. 5,000-0, and the game will be referred to as the great turning point of the 06 season. There you go. I like that. Let's see. Are they going to win?
Still, you know, we've been getting a lot of emails, Fred, like, well, back in 03, but we have eyes, okay? Now, I understand maybe the scores in 03 weren't blowouts, but they were playing better football. See, that's what I'm waiting for this team to do what Clovis just said and, like, have that turning point. You know, like, we kind of thought maybe it was the Bears game, even though they were a little sloppy. But, hey, you know what? They got a good win, a good physical win.
Right.
But then the next week they come out and they lay an egg against the Lions. So we're kind of looking for that game where we say, all right, now this team's got it going for good.
And if the Patriots have a good, sound win, I'm willing to say that it was against a decent team.
Yeah, the Dolphins aren't a terrible team.
If they score 20 or more points on offense, I'm willing to say that's an achievement. Because if they don't shut down the Dolphins' offense, I'm a little worried.
Right.
Because without Ronnie Brown,
they're going to face much tougher offenses than that in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Ken Tarango, senior.
Is he new?
I guess so. I've never heard from him before. He says, thanks for your sometimes odd way of explaining things. I'm a longtime fan of the A-team. I live in Johnson, Vermont, way up north. My question is, do you think the Pats can do it again? Win the big game? No stats, just your personal thoughts.
I think they can, but they have to be better than what we've seen right now. I'll go to the eye test. I look at this team, and I agree with Andy when he says, well, they can beat anybody. I agree with that. I think they could beat any team on any Sunday. But they can't do it the way they're playing. Because there's two types of teams that go home early in the playoffs, Fred. One is a team that can't stop the run. So see you, Indianapolis. Thanks for stopping. Another is a team that turns the ball over a lot. Because last year we heard, well, they turned it over in Denver. But there's no buts.
Yeah.
You go home. No. That's it.
And here it is. I mean, remember, it wasn't too long ago when everybody said, fans and teammates said, you know, if it's in the fourth quarter and we've got the ball in Tom Brady's hands with a chance to win or go ahead, we know we're going to do it.
Right.
But lately, okay, with the turnovers, that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the fans. Now we're worried. It's the team, too.
Right.
It turnovers are just bad. You know,
and that
because
goes back to the Colts game.
It makes you lose your confidence.
Right, and that goes back to the Colts game. Vinatieri misses the field goal. I would have bet my life that game goes in overtime.
Well, it's the same thing of having a kicker you can't rely on, you know? Mm-hmm. It makes you play differently.
Right.
And, you know, look at in that Bears game with Rashad Caldwell. You know, he caught that ball and he went out of bounds rather than staying in bounds. What was on his mind? Turnovers. He didn't want to turn the ball over. It's like a virus. You know, you got to have the confidence that no matter who you throw it to, no matter whose hands the ball's in, it's going to be safe.
Yeah, plus you start thinking about it.
Exactly.
Like if you're watching,
that's what I'm saying.
It's probably in his head right now. I got to hang on to the ball.
Right, and it affects the way you run with the ball. You know, so it is a big, big mental thing. Bob says, he's got grievances, he says. Could you enlighten me on what would be considered a breach of conduct or legitimate grievance with respect to a football locker room? For example, a coach belittling a player by swearing at him all the time in front of the other players. Is there a restriction on the use of profanity in a locker room, the presence of family members in a locker room after a game, a coach belittling a player for not playing even though he considers himself injured, threatening to cut a player if he doesn't suck up to his position coach, calling out a player for his sexual preference, or the use of racial slurs a la Michael Irvin? I guess I would like to know what type of boundaries are established in the inner sanctum of a football team. Well, that's a good question. And I think it's different between college and pro and Pop Warner and high school. Obviously, the higher up you go, anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the big thing about pro football, supposedly, is what happens in that locker room stays in that locker room. That's why, you know, when guys talk about what's going on, it's to the detriment of the team.
You mean everybody except Terrell Owens.
Right,
who
exactly.
Who lets the entire world know
and
what's going on.
And that's why he's not a good teammate.
Right.
A good teammate does not, you know, talk about good or bad. You're consistent. Good or bad, you don't talk about what's going on in the locker room. You know, the Browns used to have a thing when Art Modell was the owner there. And they still might have it, but it's called the inner circle. And when guys would get in trouble, you know, whether it's with the law or otherwise, they'd have the inner circle. And what you do is you basically, you know, create that circle around that player and you take care of it in the house. And it never, ever goes out beyond that circle. And a lot of teams have the same idea of how to handle these things. But as far as, like, how the conduct within the law, I think anything goes.
Well, not the racial slurs.
No.
I'm sure that would be put to
an end. They happen.
No, they happen,
And there's fights.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
What I'm saying. I'm saying I don't think that's one of those things where when it happens, they say, oh, that's just part of the locker room, but it'll turn into a fist fight.
Yeah, it'll turn into a fist fight. There was a safety, I don't know if I forget what team he played with. He wrote a book about 10 years ago. about the racial – well, one of the chapters in it was about the racial divide on teams. And that is very prevalent.
It is. And you can somewhat see it here a little bit.
Yeah.
You can, I mean, you really can. Like,
it's a culture difference.
It is.
You know, and guys just kind of stick together with – you know,
they go out
that,
to eat together,
yeah.
And it's there definitely is that in the locker rooms for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, they're different styles. I mean, Belichick, he can talk a pretty blue streak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not one to shy away from the profanities, but he does it in the locker room, and, you know, you don't hear about it much, but it's accepted because he, you know, it's kind of the way he is, and the guys are used to it. I think you can go overboard in belittling a guy too much. There was a guy, I think it was with Dallas, that when Parcells first got there, he made cry.
Oh, that was Miami.
Oh, it was Miami.
Yeah.
Who was that?
It was the defensive tackle they got in the supplemental draft. I can't think of his name
and
right
Saban
now.
And Saban made him cry?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But I think he might have had more issues than...
Yeah. So you don't, you know, that's the point. You don't know who you're talking to. You
yeah.
don't know what else this guy's got going on.
And I think you have to handle all players differently. Like,
yeah.
there's different kind of mental.
What the coach has to do, a good coach knows when to turn it on and turn it off. Because if you're always screaming, they're going to shut you out.
Yeah, like Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, they're going to just shut you out. So, you know, there was a general, you know, and a lot of times people equate being a head coach in a football team and being a general in the Army. He said, you know, I don't like to swear because when I swear, it gives them an excuse to not listen to me. You know, so he would try to yell and do all this stuff without swearing. Now, I don't, you know how many football coaches do that. But the point is, you got to know when to turn it on and turn it off. Because if you're always yelling and screaming and verbally assaulting guys, they're going to shut you out.
Right.
You know, because basically they're kids. You know, they're like dogs. They sense when you don't know what you're doing. They sense when you're scared. They sense when you're not sure of yourself. And they really want to be told what to do at every moment. They want to be given that game plan and be confident that if they just do their job, it's going to work.
Yeah, a lot to say on this issue, huh?
Well, you know, I don't know much, but, you know, those are the things I pay attention to. All right, so that's yeah, but have you ever heard of, like, a player filing a grievance because of verbal abuse?
No, the only thing I can think of is the Giants with a Coughlin about his meetings being 5 minutes, and when you were late, he was fining them, stuff like that, but not
right.
verbal abuse.
Right. So there are strict rules about the amount of fines you can levy on players and what you can fine them for, and that's part of the collective bargaining agreement. You know,
those are basically the ones I hear of.
Yeah, but
if you can't take some verbal abuse, you probably won't be in the NFL very long.
And that's the other thing. You know, the unwritten code of being a man in the NFL, you know, you don't complain about
those. If you're complaining
things.
That people are yelling at you,
right.
you're going to have a tough career.
Right. I'm sure behind Jeff Garcia's back, people have said things, and even Terrell Owens made fun of him. But, I mean, to file a complaint, you know, what you do is you face off against the guy and you beat him to a pulp. That's how you handle it, you know, on a football team. So,
all right,
you know, but you know, it's really an interesting, you know, Bob brings up an interesting thing because I forget who brought up the stat, maybe it was like 5-6 years ago, but they said that the average football team probably has 2 gay guys on it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Now, would those guys ever come forward? No. I mean, they have
after
they've retired, but you know, a guy's really taken his career into his own hands by coming forward while he's still on the team.
I think it will probably be another 10 years before a guy who's actually playing football admits that he's gay.
Yeah.
At least 10.
Yeah.
Because it'll just, the controversy, it's bad for him and the team. It'll be nonstop. You'll see a media rush like you couldn't even imagine.
Oh.
It'll be like Super Bowl.
Yeah. I don't think it's right, but that's the way it would be. Dan at Fairfax says, 2 years ago, I was banging 19-year-old blonde girls. Tom rules. So
those were the good old days, Dan.
Okay, let's see. Ken, again, this is my second email ever. Dylan did us just fine. He ran his ass off for us, helped us win. Yes, he's old, but respect is a good thing. Piss him off. Does he help Maroney? No. Maroney is going to be good, but all good backs are led the first year. by a guy, by a back that's getting old. Why? Because they know they're, and he uses a bad word.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Corey Dillon did something for you 2 years ago. Brett Favre ever do anything in Green Bay, Fred?
Sure.
So I guess he can just stay and be an idiot as long as he wants then, I guess, huh?
Right.
Because if you look at it, Brett Favre isn't terrible yet. He can still make some plays. But Patriot fans can't wait to point out that Brett Favre should retire and Brett Favre this and Brett Favre that. So I just think what he did 2 years ago, yeah, I respect what he did 2 years ago, but for the argument at hand right now, it's kind of irrelevant.
See, I love Corey Dillon. I love his style of play. I love what he's done. You know, to me, he's that prototypical running back. That's the kind of running back.
Anymore.
John Riggins and Larry Zonka. Those are the kind of running backs that I like, you know, those guys. But I look at Maroney and I see what this guy's going to be. And it's not like he needs another year. I mean, he could do it now. You put the ball in consistently in his hands, 25 carries a game, I guarantee he's going to have 1,400 yards.
I
guarantee it.
I agree.
2 years ago, I was banging 19-year-old blonde girls. All right.
And like I said, Fred.
See, the problem with that, I Gary's done this to me before. I repeat something else, and then it becomes me saying it.
But it's like I said, Fred, say Dillon's on here next year and they continue this.
Bonnie is hot, but Susie Colbert is hotter.
We'll start seeing how come Adai's doing this, how come Norwood's doing this, how come Jones-Drew's doing this.
Right.
And, you know, well, we'll have to see. I'll tell you what, there's a similar situation going on around here. You know, people in Jacksonville still like Fred Taylor, but they're taking the exact opposite approach of the people that are emailing in here. And I still think most of the Patriot fans agree with us, by the way.
Right.
But they're saying, you know, we need to get this Jones-Drew on the field as much as possible because he makes things happen. And that's what we're saying. Maroney makes things happen.
Yep. All right, we're going to make more things happen when we come back from this break. A lot more emails. We'll see you in a bit.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Let's go, let's jump right in.
Come on, baby, let's go. It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
Exclusively from the New Orleans Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson. Free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet on
autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots extra points because fans want contact too. Autographed in Ronald Limited with this ball for qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Gary's in the mood.
Yep.
You in the mood, Tom?
Yeah, tonight, Rudolph and Frosty the Snowman, back-to-back on CBS.
I got my tree yesterday.
Did you? Mine's been up.
I don't like getting it too soon because, you know, you get the fake or the real?
Real.
Yeah. How are you going to keep it moist?
I water it.
You water it?
Yeah. Because you know what? Once I open my presents, I don't need the tree anymore. I can take it down.
No, I wait till after New Year's.
See, I'm not one of those. I don't care. I mean, we can. It's not. I'm not against it, but I just don't care. Because once Christmas is over, I'm done with the tree. It can die. It can do whatever it wants.
I got a Fraser fir. I guess those are...
So you paid for the 50 bucks, huh?
I paid 50
Yeah,
bucks.
See, I know how much those are, Fred. I shopped around. Well, unfortunately, I had to settle for the $25
tree. See, I like the smell. And they smell...
I don't like those Massachusetts white pines.
I haven't seen those.
They're very flimsy. Like, you can't, like, put a lot of bulbs and stuff
on
them.
Want
those were 50 bucks,
like Charlie
too.
Brown's tree?
Yeah.
No, I don't like that. I like a good full tree.
Yeah.
You know? The problem was, though, it kind of got to be a real schlep last night because I bought the tree. You know how they cut the base, and then they bind it up, and you throw it in your car,
yeah.
And you take it home. So I bring it home, and the guy cut the stump too short. So when I put it in the holder, it wasn't touching
right.
The bottom. Okay, so all right. So then I get the saw out, and I cut like the first layer of branches so it would fit in. But then this was a bigger tree than I usually get, so now it was too thick to fit through. So I had to go to Target
and get
a whole other base, which was bigger, but it was even more. So then I had to cut more branches out. So basically,
see,
the bottom line is that I have a stick now sticking out of my...
That whole thing that you just said,
yeah.
I could never do. I can't saw anything. I would just throw the tree away and go get another one.
Well, I was thinking of bringing it back and having the guy, but, yeah. You know, once I get going on something, I got to finish it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like,
I just give up.
You know, but I got a good base because, you know, the old bases with the three metal stands and you kind of put it on the metal thing and then you stick the eye hooks through and, you know, and... This one was a big plastic thing, one big one-piece thing. It was a lot easier to work with.
The green?
Yeah.
I have the same one.
It was only 12 bucks.
I have the same one.
Yeah.
I bought the exact same one.
Yeah, it's great. Much improved from the old metal ones.
Oh, yeah, they're way better.
Yeah. And it was only 12 bucks.
I know, $11.99. I got the same one.
Okay. web radio. Web radio.
We got our rant thing up to 4, by the way.
Okay. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Eric had some questions for his fantasy QB starter. Should he start Vince at Houston or Rex at St. Louis?
Oh, Vince Young.
Really?
Well, you know my feelings on the game. I think the Rams are going to win big. So.
Okay. All right. Let's see. James writes us again, but I've already read the email. So, and let's see. Daniel writes in. He says, Tom, you're the man. You have a great radio voice and presence.
Oh, thank you.
So you have the pipes.
That's good because I'm going to try to take over Felger's show today. So me and Andy Hart are trying to sneak our way in there.
Okay. Your rant during the email reading was the funniest moment in PFW history. I was cracking up out loud here at work. JJ is an idiot. Wow.
Well, I appreciate that. See, every now and again you'll find someone who likes me.
One of these days, we ought to have a PFW in progress listener convention. You know how like they do on EEI, the Wine Awards? We ought to have everybody come for a big banquet and see who everybody is.
I'm just afraid someone's going to take a shot at me.
Well, people should be afraid you're going to take a shot at them, too.
So, no, I meant shoot me with a gun.
Oh, I don't think any of our listeners would do that.
I got a feeling JJ's pricing them as we speak.
Okay. Let's see. Matt says, Tom, I agree with your view on Dylan, but you have to remember what the ultimate goal for the season is, Super Bowl victory. If Dylan is getting more carries come playoff time, you have an argument. Until then, I don't care who gets the carries as long as they win. One of the things that gets overlooked from the average fan is game film. The most important thing you can do come playoff time is to run plays and formations that your opponents haven't seen on film. And Belichick knows this. I'm sure you will see Maroney running a lot of toss plays and such come that time. I believe this is why the Colts have lost in the playoffs every year. They pretty much empty their playbook throughout the regular season. Bottom line, Maroney will be fresh for the playoffs.
Well, I hope he's right. I was going to say something and I forgot. Oh, yeah, the only thing that concerns me, though, is that the running game, and this concerns Tom Brady, too, because he said it. It's not where it needs to be right now. I talked to some offensive linemen this week, and they all said the same thing. You know, they need to improve the running game at this point in the year. So everybody knows it's not what it was at the beginning of the year, and they're trying to get it back to, you know, back to normal.
Yeah, I don't agree about the Colts emptying out their playbook while Belichick doesn't.
I think he tries to win every game.
Yeah, I think you look at each game, you look at what might work against that particular defense, and that's what you go for. You can't really look ahead and say, well, I don't want to use this because I want to save it for the Chargers in week three of the playoffs.
If I had $20 for every time since I've been here, Belichick says he's only worried about this team this week, I would have, I'd be gone. Everyone would be happy. I wouldn't have to work anymore.
Alex in Somerville, I understand your point of Maroney being the Patriots' back of the future. However, this season, Dylan has been more consistent, successfully picking up necessary yardage more often than not.
More consistent where, though? What are you guys talking about? Fred, you're the biggest homer on the planet. What are they talking about?
Maroney, on the other hand, has been more of a boom or bust runner.
But Dylan hasn't gone anywhere. I don't understand what you're talking about. He's run very well in short yardage and goal line situations. But other than that, what has he done? Consistent. He'll rush for 24 yards, then his next 10 carries will go for 12 yards. That's consistent? Come on now.
Maroney has shown amazing potential. He has excellent vision, especially after he passes the line. It is the dancing behind the line that is killing him. What he does with kick returns can't be left out of the discussion. He is the first player for the Patriots that has the respect of the coverage teams. Maroney has also shown himself to be an excellent weapon receiving out of the backfield. I have also seen him consistently picking up the blitz. More importantly, I haven't seen him let someone through to crush Brady. Well, that's good arguments for Maroney.
Yeah, I actually hope Maroney doesn't play this week because I want to see how consistent Corey Dillon is with 20 carries. I want to see how consistent he is. Against the Jets, who have one of the three worst rush defenses in the league, Dillon carried the ball 20 times. It was the only game this year a back carried the ball 20 times. He got 80 yards. Every other back that's carried the ball 20 times against the Jets has gone over 100 yards, I believe. There might be one that didn't, but from what I checked, I think everyone did. So when you're talking about this consistency, what exactly are you talking about? Because I haven't seen it.
Let's see. Eric says the strip club is 8 miles from the stadium, about 13 minutes from the stadium to Scarlett's. Nice club, good girls.
Well, we're about 40 minutes from the stadium, probably in the other direction.
Yeah, we actually stay in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
We're not even in Miami. And he has the directions right here, so I'll pass them along to Andy and a couple of the guys in the PR department who like to frequent those establishments. I'm not into strip clubs.
No, me either. I think it's the biggest waste of time that a male can spend their money on.
Yeah.
Now, if I could touch those girls and have sex with them, I'd be more than happy to go in and pay money.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Doug from Blackstone. Guys, what do you think of Jabbar Gaffney's play so far? I think he's done a great job and has a serious set of hooks on him. I was doubtful when I heard about the signing, but I was wrong.
I don't know. Has he done that much?
Well, yeah. He's caught the ball when it's thrown to him.
He's made a couple of catches. I don't think he's exceeded expectations, and I don't think he hasn't lived up to expectations.
Right.
I think he's done what they've asked him to do.
Yep. Shane from Miami, what do you guys think about the overall play of the tight ends this year? Ben Watson's butterfingers has been well documented, but what about Graham and David Thomas? I feel that the latter two have been severely underutilized. After spending all of these draft picks on tight ends, what have they gotten back from their efforts? Not much. Why? Why are the tight ends not thrown to more? In terms of Daniel Graham, why is he not more part of the passing game? He doesn't drop it any more than Watson. Does San Diego have to use Antonio Gates all the time to help out his left tackle? I just don't understand the Pats' game plan with these guys. I don't blame Graham if he leaves. If Matt Light at the right tackle, I think he means left tackle, needs help all the time, then then maybe those guys need to go and Graham needs to stay. What exactly is the role of the tight end in this offense?
I mean, I don't know. We get this question all the time, and I don't know why they don't throw to Graham more. He's usually in blocking. But, I mean, Watson leads the team in receptions, so, you know, it's not like they're not throwing to him. And Thomas is a rookie. It's, you know, plus he's behind Graham. He's the third tight end. Just think about it. Fred, who is the third tight end for the Bears?
The third tight end for no idea.
Who's the third tight end for the Bengals?
No idea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The guy's third tight end on the team, so how's he going to catch 40, 50 passes his first year? Now, say Graham leaves. Now he gets elevated to the second tight end. I think he has a more, you know, bigger role in the offense and does a lot more things.
Right. What about this talk about the fact that they may not be using the two tight end set as much as they have in the past?
I mean, I don't know.
I see them a lot with the two tight ends.
I think they're using their tight ends all the time. They don't throw to Graham a lot, I agree. But like I said, how many receptions did you expect Watson to have coming in? Because he's on pace for like 70-some receptions. For a tight end, that's a Pro Bowl season.
Right. That's Ben Coates type numbers. Yeah.
So, I mean, they do throw to Watson.
Yeah. Let's see. Ken says, I really like Maroney. Hell, I got his jersey as soon as it came out.
Good man.
I mean, Dylan can teach Maroney a lot, don't you think?
Yeah, but that's not the point we were arguing. Not one time have I, you, Andy, or Paul said Dylan has been any kind of problem to Maroney or anybody else. Because as far as we know, he hasn't been.
What do you think, though, overall, like this whole idea of veterans mentoring young guys? You think that's overrated a little bit?
I don't necessarily think they have to mentor them, but if they cause trouble, like say Maroney starts this week and Dylan doesn't, and then he goes out in the media and says, you know, well, like what he did in Cincinnati, Rudy Johnson isn't Corey Dillon and he never will be.
Right.
That's the problem you run into.
Yeah.
I don't think they even necessarily have to be close friends, but you can't cause problems outside, like you said, outside the locker room. It's got to stay inside.
Well, what about, you know, this whole thing about the mentoring? I want to stick on this a little bit. I mean, you know, I guess as a rookie or a young player, it's kind of out of respect. You always say, oh, it's great to, you know, be around, you know, Troy Brown because, you know, you learn so much from him. But is it really just watching him? I doubt that, you know, Troy Brown has time to take Chad Jackson aside and coach him.
But I think
because Troy Brown has got his own things
but that's the thing, Fred. I think it's work ethic.
Right.
Like, they'll see Troy Brown, what he does to prepare.
Right.
And I think that's what it is. Like, you look at Brady and Castle, you can tell they're close. Castle follows him around like a lost puppy. And I think he's trying to pick up everything that Brady does
then watching Dylan take the shortcut when they're supposed to be jogging a training
there
camp was not a good thing.
Right. And I said that during training camp. When they ran sprints, the guy was last every single time. There wasn't one time he wasn't last. And then when they had to do penalty runs, he cut through the goalpost every time. And I guess, if I was a fan, that would bother me. But I guess here in New England, they don't care. So,
you know, I that does bother me for anyone. I mean,
because there's 80 guys, Fred. There's 80
of
them. 79 are doing it the right way. One guy's doing it the wrong way, and the fans defend the guy who's doing it the wrong way. To me, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So when they wonder why does Tom,
it's just
like Maroney? Well, I never really had a conversation with him. Dylan. It's not like he said, Tom, I hate you. It's just I saw him in training camp being lazy, and to me I said, you know what? I don't like this guy. That's not what I like out of a player. I don't like seeing that.
Right.
Maybe the fans think differently.
Sean in Macon, Georgia. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I am not sending in my membership to the Lawrence Maroney fan club yet. What has Maroney really done this year that has everybody so hot to trot for the guy? He has done well on kickoffs, but in the running game, he really hasn't done that much better than Dylan, Falk, or anyone else. He had that great game against the Bengals and has done very little since. The guy is obviously talented, but he has yet to do anything productive.
Okay, Fred, stop for a second.
Okay.
What has Dylan done other than score touchdowns since?
Well, you're talking about this year.
Since the Cincinnati game, what has Dylan done?
Right.
Because I remember 2 weeks ago, he gained 40 yards. Last week, he gained 25 yards. So other than get the ball in the end zone, what has Dylan done? People have not answered that question for us yet. They keep saying, what has Maroney done? What has Dylan done other than score? And by the way, longest touchdown run of the season, 12 yards for Corey Dillon. So other than score touchdowns from inside the 10-yard line, what has Corey Dillon done?
Yes, Maroney can break a long one, although he hasn't done it yet. Tom will argue that he hasn't gotten enough touches, and you may be right, but maybe he hasn't taken much advantage of the chances he has had. I want to see a little more production before I reserve his bust in Canton. What has he really proved?
I think he proved he's explosive. Watch the Bears game over. You know, those might only be 12-yard gains, but watch him bull over those tacklers. Ask Nick Barnett how if Lawrence Maroney can do anything, because he's still looking for his jockstrap at Lambeau Field. All right. Ask Madu Williams, who is a Pro Bowl caliber safety, who's becoming one, what happens when Lawrence Maroney gives you the stiff arm and then shuffles into the end zone. These are the we've seen the flashes. Now you put that all together and give them the touches. I'll tell you what, I was hearing early in the year, D'Angelo Williams can't do this, D'Angelo Williams can't do that. Guess what happened when D'Angelo Williams got 25 carries, Fred? He was unstoppable. Because those couple of plays where he got caught behind the line, there'd be two more plays where he'd make that cut and boom, 25 yards.
Right.
That's what we're trying to say. When you're a running back, you're going to have negative plays, but Maroney doesn't get enough touches to make those positive plays like the other guys are. Joseph Addai, me and Andy were laughing at the beginning of the year because he couldn't do anything. Then he started getting more carries. He started breaking off bigger runs. You got to give these guys a chance. It's just like a quarterback. You can't expect them to throw 10 passes and go 9 out of 10.
Right. Rich from Niantic, Connecticut. Curious as to how the Patriots' offensive line run blocks compared to some of the premier run-blocking units in the NFL. Seems as though those teams that excel at the run have a lot more motion on the line than we do. The pulling guards, chop blocks, and stunts that are so prevalent on some O-lines seem to be missing here in New England, and it's so dominant, and so is a dominant running game. Any correlation?
Well, I think they do. They pull the guard and they do chop blocks here. I've seen them do that. I think the offensive line's been inconsistent this year. I think some games they've looked dominant. In some games, they, you know, there's no holes, there's no time for Brady. And, you know, Stephen Neal talked about it this week. He said, you know, we all got to pick up our game. It's we're getting to the crunch time here, and we all got to play better.
I think that, you know, the Patriots are certainly not the zone-blocking type of line.
No, they do
that,
some of it, but it's not Denver or Atlanta.
It's not Denver or Atlanta. It's not that kind of everybody gets going in a certain way, and then you let the running back choose his lane. But they do a lot of movement. There's a lot of pulling.
Mm-hmm.
You see Neal come around a lot, and he'll end up on the outside of the tackle a lot. And you see that. It's I think it's a lot of factors. But they're more of a traditional blocking crew than some of these other guys. Whether or not it has a correlation to why they don't have a dominant running game, I think that there's teams that do well doing it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a combination of things. And I think that once Maroney becomes the feature back, assuming that they keep this line intact, I think you're going to see the Patriots have one of the better running games in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's see. High A-Team, Fred and Tom. Just seen the latest Pro Bowl voting on NFL.com. I can't believe Ty Warren and Lawrence Maroney with his kickoff returns aren't even in the top four. What are your thoughts?
No way Warren would be in the top four.
No.
Listen, let me explain something to you right now. There's not going to be a more deserving player than Ty Warren that doesn't go to the Pro Bowl, and that's why why you hear me complaining on this show all the time about Roy Williams. My basis for it is the Pro Bowl. Roy Williams will go to the Pro Bowl every year he doesn't get injured because his name is Roy Williams, and people remember that play he made at Oklahoma when he jumped over and sacked Chris Sims in the end zone. Ty Warren, Chris Berman doesn't have a cool nickname for him. They're not talking about him on NFL primetime all the time. So even though he's having a Pro Bowl year, you know who will go to the Pro Bowl? Richard Seymour.
Right.
That's who will go to the Pro Bowl.
Right. It is a popularity contest. Now, if he has another good year next year, he might go. But
guys who kind of break out those first couple of years, they have to wait until the older guys. I remember Ray Lewis had to do it with Junior Seau. Ray Lewis got left off early on in his career when people thought he should have went, and it was because Seau had a lock on that spot and a couple of other guys, and he had to wait his turn. And, you know, I think Warren is deserving of a Pro Bowl bid.
Now, I thought those guys were going to come down today, Andy and Paul.
Maybe they're actually working.
Oh, that's right. Today's Friday. Locker room opened up at 1:30, by the way. Oh, that's probably where they are, right?
I doubt it.
You doubt it? All the stories are in the can?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody should be there. Where's Kyle just came in here.
He's probably going to the locker room.
He's going
room
to the locker
now.
Room
yeah.
right now? Okay. We have Kyle wired up in the locker room? Do we hit, no?
Andy usually goes to the locker room,
well,
too.
Speaking of wired up, I didn't know that Bill Belichick was wired up during the Detroit Lions game. NFL Films, I guess, was working on a feature.
The best part of that, though, Fred, I thought, is when he said, well, I have a lot of offers and opportunities. And I was thinking to myself, can you imagine how many times he says no?
Right. Just count the ones that we asked.
Yeah.
But I guess they wired him up because his dad used to coach or for the Lions. Did he actually play for them?
I think he did. Might, yeah, he did. I think I remember
Belichick showed us some.
And his
grandfather.
Yeah. It was with the Lions, I think.
Yeah. And his grandfather?
I don't know. It was his father.
His father and him. And, you know, he coached with the Lions. But he was talking about three generations. Now, his kids were at the game against Detroit.
Yeah, I didn't get the whole – I wasn't sure what they were talking about, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't intern with the Lions because they were here, right? I guess.
And if they were going to intern, it would be here. Not
right.
I'm pretty sure Belichick could get his kids a job if they needed one.
Right. So, but I guess we should look forward to something that NFL Films is doing.
Well, it was on Inside the NFL on HBO.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, they already did it? What was it?
His kids were on the sideline. I guess the youngest tracks all the play calls, and they showed Bill in the office with the kids doing homework and stuff.
But what does that have to do with the Lions?
He was talking about some of the history of the Lions, how Bill was the tight ends coach there and his dad played for him.
Right. Okay.
So he just kind of has a tie-in with the Lions. That's why he said he did it, because he thought it would be, like, you know, a special thing.
Well, that's cool. I did see his youngest on the sideline with the clipboard. It's interesting. He hangs out with the castle and tracks plays, and that's good.
Yeah.
You know? Let's see. James from Roanoke Rapids. We all know that the recent rash of turnovers might be working in the back of all the players' minds, and they will be thinking about preventing them more during the games than they usually would. But you can't discount the possibility that every defense the Patriots will face these next 4 weeks will be looking to force them more, since they also know the Patriots have suffered a rash of them. This will not change until the Patriots go through two or three games without turning it over so much while winning all of these games. Might also come to bite those defenses in the end, as they might be going for the ball instead of the tackle, and the Patriots players might take it for more yardage or a TD instead of a short game. Let's hope this happens. This might happen this week in Miami. Okay? Well, teams are definitely going to be looking for the turnover.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Let's see. Eric says again, Tom needs to go with me to the strip clubs. I'll show him how to pick up 20-year-old strippers with no money down. No drinks bought for them, no dances bought.
All right. I've lost my mojo. I got nothing.
Did you check out the attached photos he sent?
No. He attached photos? Wow. Oh, well, there you go.
Are they good?
Now, what, does he go out with them and take pictures of them, or who is this guy?
I don't know.
I don't know, but
read the beginning of his email address.
I already deleted it. What is it?
Strippers.
Oh, maybe he's into it, I guess. I don't know. Okay, Sean from Macon, Georgia. Tom, I'm not saying that Dylan is better than Maroney. Before you start ranting in the middle of every email, keep an open mind. Most of us agree that Dylan is at the end of the line, but Maroney just has not been very productive either. None of the running backs have. Should Maroney get more touches than Dylan? Yes. Probably so, but I am not saying Dylan is better, only that Maroney has not shown very much either in actual game production.
And I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah, but you know what?
The eyeball test shows me, like we said, watch. I mean, God, man, you guys watch all the games. Look at that Chicago game when he caught those passes and, you know, he made those guys miss, and those were big plays. You don't count those. You're saying he doesn't make big plays?
Yeah.
Those were big plays.
I mean, look, we've all, and I'm sure our listeners have too, but we've watched every run that Maroney has made this year. You can see the difference.
Yeah, you can just see it.
And you can just tell, just if the more you get the ball in this guy's hands, the more chances he's going to have that 4.5, 4.7 average per carry, and he's going to have one or two big ones per game. And that's really the threat you're looking for in a running game. That keeps the defenses honest. I mean, last year when the Patriots were in the playoffs against Denver, John Lynch, after that game, said, we did not respect their running game.
And I'll go back to this year when I talked to Ian Gold, and he said, despite the fact Maroney wasn't starting, and this was the third game of the season, by the way, he said they were more prepared for Maroney than Dillon because of the way Maroney runs. So even opposing defenses are telling you, we fear him more than the other guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
So,
That's not me.
You can, you know, you can stop Dillon with seven up front. You don't need to bring eight in the box because the most he's going to go for on most plays is 3 or 4 yards.
Right.
Which, if he does every play, that's good. But you don't have to worry about it as much as Maroney. Once he gets through that second level, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to stack up a little bit more on early downs. And that helps Tom Brady because now that opens up everything.
Yep.
You know, so it's just, it's, yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers right now, obviously, carries, yards per carry, touchdown production, Dillon is better or even.
And that's, Fred, that's the thing that bothers me the most is that these guys, they're big fans. So you figure they watch the game, but instead they cut and paste numbers and, you know, well, this number that. I mean, aren't you watching? Because we not only talk amongst ourselves, we talk with a bunch of other people about this. And everybody has the exact same opinion that it's time for Maroney to start getting the ball more. Yet we get emails that say, well, he's got 4.1, blah, blah, blah. Who cares?
All right, Gary, let's take a break. I got to eat. We'll be right back.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much.
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5%. Up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Let's go, let's jump right in. Come on, baby, let's go.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford. Bold moves.
Come on, baby.
Exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson. Watson free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver, face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet will be your first book for your qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
It's a hip-hop Christmas. I don't like this song. Whoa, boy, that Latin channel, man, that's something else.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Okay, anyway, back to PFW in progress. Fred and Tom here until 2 o'clock. We got a few more minutes, so get your emails in. We got a couple we need more we need to get to, but there's still time at webradio@patriots.com to get them in. And what's going on at 2 o'clock? Is John here?
As always. Yesterday replay.
Okay, and then Tom, well, there's no Patriots Friday this week.
No.
But Tom will be at ESPN 890 in studio. So if you can find their website. I heard their website's harder to find than listening to their station.
You got to type in the Mike Felger Show.
Oh, is that right?
Search, that's how I found it.
Okay.
Although it is ESPN890.com.
All right, so it's kind of hard to find, but you can do that and listen to Tom. I that might be interesting. Maybe they'll let Tom go, you know, kind of host the show. I don't know. Because God knows what Felger's going to be doing while he's on the show down in Miami. He's probably drinking Mai Tais or something. Let's see. Okay. Emails. Ken, Johnston, Vermont again. Does Tom's ear or forehead get red when people ask so many questions about Dylan? Anyway, will you ever have live video while you are live? Yahoo Messenger or something?
We could watch you eat.
We do have these cameras here, but they're not for us. They're for Patriots Monday. Patriots Monday gets all the... Now, have they been putting Patriots Monday on Comcast On Demand?
Yeah, the Belichick interview on the Big Show and the player interviews during Dale and Holly.
Okay, so those part of it, not the whole show.
Not the whole show. It's Comcast On Demand. It's the interview portion.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, other people have asked that, you know, do some video or something or pictures of us or something.
I don't
like
know why people want to see us. We're not very good looking.
I know, that's for sure. But, you know, maybe we can do something like that, some live video. I kind of like, you know, the whole idea of just listening because it leaves more to the imagination. You know, right now people might actually think we're studs or something. Why ruin the illusion? That's what I say.
I don't want anybody looking at me.
No, I don't either. I really don't. It's enough for that Tuesday night.
He says, I'll tell you what. Someday, if I'm ever as popular as Howard Stern is, I'll throw on a TV show for you. Until that day, I think we'll leave it the way it is.
Okay. Webradio@patriots.com. You know, this is kind of a bad Saturday for sports.
This is what I
call Black Saturday because there's no college football.
Yeah, and
there's
the thing
no
is,
pro football.
There's college basketball, but I'm not in college basketball
mode. Yeah,
who cares
yet, right now?
So.
Yeah, the intensity isn't there.
Right.
You know. Let's see. PJ again. I think you guys are not understanding the point of some fans. No one is saying that they are supporting Corey Dillon because he cheated on laps in training camp. No one is saying that Dylan should be the number one back, but you guys have been all over Maroney since day one, and some fans are saying that Dylan still has some worth. Tom, you also say, ask Barnett how he feels about Maroney. Well, ask Belichick how he feels about the carries that they are getting. I love you guys, but I have a feeling Belichick knows his backs and how the carries should be handled. There is a reason why the carries are the way they are, and I have a hard time believing that you guys are seeing that Corey Dillon stinks, but Belichick hasn't caught on yet. I still love the show. Talk to you next week.
I know, but comparing us to
Belichick. I'm not saying that Dillon stinks.
No, but I'm
not saying that.
And who's saying that we know more than Belichick? But we can't talk about the team. We don't have a right to talk about the team.
Yeah.
We cover the team. Of course we can talk about them.
I mean, I think
I'll tell you what. Go ahead and read my story in PFW this week. You think the carries are working? They're not.
They're not working. I think that most head coaches who have a veteran back who's had a career like Corey Dillon and a rookie like Maroney welcome that because it allows them to do exactly what Belichick has done, which is limit the rookie's carries early so that he doesn't hit that rookie wall.
And Fred,
a lot of that is based on caution, but I'm saying throw caution to the wind at this point.
And you know what? I wish you had like a search engine where we could like search emails because I'd like to go. If Belichick's doing such a great job, remember those emails we got after the Colts game?
Right.
I mean, Belichick did such a great job that people couldn't wait to rip him for not running the ball, not giving it to Maroney more. Remember those emails?
Yeah.
It's week to week here. If Dillon rushes the ball 20 times for 48 yards next week, you know what we're going to get next week? Tom was right. I'm sorry. Tom was right. Where's Maroney? We need Maroney. At least you can say that I've been pretty consistent since the summer. I mean, these guys, I just feel they go on week to week. Like, 1 week they want this guy. 1 week they got... I mean, after the Colts game, that's all we heard. Where's Maroney? Where's Maroney? Where's Maroney? I'm still asking it.
PJ says, hey, Tom, Nebraska versus Auburn. What do you think?
I like Nebraska.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, Auburn doesn't play well in bowl games. And I just... They were on a downswing towards the end of the year. I think Nebraska upsets them.
Donaldo says, I think that all of the Pats running backs stink, Maroney including, trade them all and get LT from San Diego. Until then, wake me up when the season is over. Wow. Wow. That's Donaldo. Doesn't care about the season, but does listen to PFW in progress.
Yep.
So, gotta love that. Let's see. Stripper says the pictures that he sent, he saw her at a local strip club, ignored her. Third time she saw me, she attacked me, asking why I ignored her. We went out the following week, 20 years old, not bad, I'm 37. I own a stripper agency back in New Hampshire, so I know how to talk to dancers, their mindset. Those pics are from Tuesday night. That's her from some club website, tat photoshopped out on lower back. Should I bring her by the hotel?
We have a new favorite emailer.
Send me your
Fred,
phone.
Fred, take a look at my laptop.
Wow. Maybe Tom wants to go by there. But he has a stripper agency, huh? So this agency, like, you can rent them out for, like, bachelor parties and stuff like that?
Yeah, I got to know what you're renting out first.
Yeah.
We'll talk.
You know, I've seen some of the women from New Hampshire, although my wife's from New Hampshire, so I should shut my butt.
No offense to Dan Heffron, but Eric.
this is getting more and more interesting here. Now, were you the guy that supplied the Duke lacrosse team with their women that night? I don't know. So... But a stripper.
We got a source now.
A stripper agency.
I just want to know what my $200 is getting me.
Is that legal? Are you allowed to have that? Stripper? Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do that?
You can't run out prostitutes.
Well, I mean, for a little extra,
Well, that's what I'm wondering. What am I getting for $200?
Okay. Very interesting.
If you tell me something I like to hear, then maybe we can do some business.
But please, God, no, don't come by the hotel or it is our jobs. I mean, we're not even allowed to go into the hotel bar.
It's Casale.
I mean,
ask the front desk.
The last thing we need is some guy bringing around strippers. that's not good.
Who are you rooming with, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'll probably have a roommate. Dagnabbit.
All right, well, that's going to be it. Well, Brian Lowe and Andy Hart room together.
Yeah.
And I heard Andy makes Brian do a strip tease.
I heard they room a little too close.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Oh, that wasn't my hand. Those aren't pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you on Tuesday after a big Patriots win in Miami. Talk to you then.